parole or money or anything like that because it was against the federal law. And I believe that they're in the process now of changing it. I read Congressman Joe Wilson's bill. I think that he was giving some financial resources to people that would contribute a kidney. I think that because of the federal law. Mm-hmm. But there are people that are dying today because they need a kidney and they cannot find one.
Well, sir, let me put these points to a couple of our guests, including Derek Johnson from the NAACP. Derek, are you convinced by the ideas that Senator Ralph Anderson suggests?
Absolutely not. I think that sets a really, really dangerous precedent where we will end up creating a situation like we had in the Tuskegee experiment where blacks were experimented on without their knowledge, or the example of the establishment of parchment after slavery.
But this would be with, Derek, this would be with their knowledge. They wouldn't be forced to do it. They would be offered the possibility of giving a kidney in exchange for a reduced sentence.
But when you give people the option to consent to something and they don't feel they have any other choice in life, mm-hmm. then you're not giving them a choice. What you're doing is you're forcing them to answer the question in an affirmative because they see no other options. It's the same with payday lending and predatory mortgages that brought our financial...
Okay, so let's put that point back to Senator Anderson. Sir, these people are in vulnerable situations.
Okay. You know, if you take his version, you know, I would have to agree with him. This is different from what they did in Tuskegee. This was an experiment in giving people syphilis to just study it. You know, my bill did not take in those things and prevented it from happening. This is a situation where is that, and I'm not going to debate with the fellow from North Carolina because I think he has a different version, but this is giving any prisoner the option that if he donated a kidney, we can still donate bone marrow in our prisons, but they do not get any time for it.
So let's put
a present state that you cannot give a organ for money or accept money.
So, Senator Anderson, we've got people not just listening across the United States, but across the world. I'm very curious to have them respond to your simple idea. It is this: if you are a prisoner and you are healthy, you will not be forced to donate any organ, but if you're willing,
you got to create an atmosphere that there will be no retaliation if you did not.
But I'm curious to hear from our listeners whether they agree with you. They've got 20 minutes to let us know. Do call us up, country code 44 2070 83 72 72. Senator Anderson, just before you go, I'm assuming that your proposals didn't make enough headway.
No, well, once we found out that the federal government and we looked at what they had conveyed, and I can't think of the two things, but they have changed the law to some degree. We're not giving them actual compensation for it, but they are allowing relatives to contribute without any means of financial at all.
Now, that's interesting.
I agree with what the fellow has stated, and he's making a very good point. I do not disagree with him.
So we do have some agreement between...
Let me finish this, and then I'm going to let you go. The theory that he's using in Alabama, when they gave the prisoners syphilis and, I guess, other disease to experiment on them, this was
entirely
wrong.
Hello?
But Senator Anderson, I'm not hearing you suggesting that it's right. And, of course, Derek Johnson raised it as an example of something that was very wrong. So we're certainly agreed on that. Thank you very much indeed for your time. That's Senator Ralph Anderson from Greenville, South Carolina, possibly the first guest on World Have You Say who said he's going to let me go. Normally I'm the one letting you guys go, but I guess it's about time the tables were turned. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. Derek, before I come to you, let me bring in Dan, who's listening to us on WCPN in Ohio. Hi, Dan. Thanks for getting in touch.
Well, thank you very much.
What's your point?
Well, my point is similar to the gentleman from the NAACP. Basically, this is a purchase your own way out of jail, and it honestly does not go across fairly. Basically, if I were to go to jail, I wouldn't be able to purchase my way out because I only have one kidney. So that would not be fair. Another thing is, did they offer this to every other prisoner in that prison? No, just to that one lady who happens to be her sister. So we've got those issues that come up. But the real issue is, why are they allowing people to purchase their way out by giving bodily parts? Does this mean that someone can now use their own bank account to start purchasing their way out by purchasing a kidney from someone else? And where does the slippery slope end?
Can I respond?
Of course you can.
Yes. Well, no. We having a really academic debate on a call and not realizing the political reality in which all has happened. The governor found himself in a pickle because of comments he made 2 weeks ago, and he needed something to divert attention. The release of the sisters became the convenient theme because there was such a movement, national, international, because of the injustice for which they were in jail for so long for in the first place, not even getting to discussion of whether or not they even committed the crime. So, but for him being a conservative like he is, he needed a hook, a justification for releasing them. For one sister, he could say it was because of medical reasons, because she is critically ill. For the other sister, there had to be a justification. Politically, because of the movement of this country, you can't say I'm releasing them because I think that the punch was unjust, because you can't be tough on crime if you do that.
Okay,
you
so you're saying it's a distraction. One thing I would say is that I appreciate that the case of these two sisters in the United States was well known. I'm not sure it was so well known outside of the United States. And the reason a great deal of the world's media has paid attention to this case isn't because of the length of their sentence, though that, of course, has been reported. It's because of the kidney part of this story. Just before I come to you, Steve, Hilo's emailed us. Gladys Scott struck a deal for her and Jamie Scott's freedom. Good for her. Good for both of them. Jerusalem's listening in Washington and says, getting a get-out-of-jail-free ticket by donating a kidney just should not happen. If they have been justifiably sentenced, they should spend the designated time with or without a kidney, impartial to their race. Steve, we're coming to the point where we're going to have to wrap this up. I mean, I've already put to you that both sisters seem to come out of this deal well. They're both going to be free. The woman who needs a kidney is going to get one. The woman who wants to donate one's going to be able to donate one. On top of that, the state of Mississippi saves money because it's not incarcerating the two of them and it's not paying the medical bills for one of them. There's a lot of practical reasons why this works.
There certainly are a lot of practical reasons why it works, and that is not the issue. I don't think this is a question of one sister buying her way out.
Is not.
I don't think that's the point here. I think I was a little bit dismayed that was proposed apparently in the plea, but I certainly understand the ultimate goal here was to get the sisters free for a number of reasons. Whether you agree or disagree with whether it was a just sentence, that's irrelevant. The issue is truly the governor's condition, the interference of the state in a person's life that they have absolutely no right to make. And this from a Republican who espouses the small government, smaller interference in personal life. The broader questions of being able to buy your way out of prison in the future or to with an organ donation or with sufficient money, those are interesting things to discuss, mm-hmm. but the practicality of that, the real possibility of that happening is very slim, at least in the near future. The issue here, the sisters are free, there should be no condition on that release.
Steve started the program by saying there shouldn't be a condition. He finishes the program not convinced by the other arguments that he's heard. Derek, I can hear you coming in, but we've got a number of Pakistanis waiting to speak to us in the last 15 minutes of the show. So I'll respectfully ask you to hold your thought and we'll, of course, have you back on the program on this issue or on any other in the future. Steve Allen, at blogger at stephenrob.com, live with us from Atlanta, and Derek Johnson, state president in Mississippi of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, along with Dan, who called us in Ohio. Thank you very much.
Text us on country code 44 77 86 20 60 80.
Email what have you say at bbc.co.uk.
Well, let's talk about Pakistan. Islamabad, Lahore, Karachi and Peshawar, four of the cities to be disrupted by strikes today. They were organised by Sunni Muslim clerics in objection to proposed changes to laws that make insulting Islam a crime that's punishable by death. You may well remember we talked about these laws on World Have Your Say a few months ago when a Pakistani Christian woman was sentenced to death after farmhands near her village reported that she'd insulted the Prophet Muhammad. Now, for some of you, today's strikes undermine claims that Pakistan is a tolerant and a modern society. And that's what we're going to talk through today. And just before we begin, it's important, there's a little bit of misunderstandings about this bill. A lot of people discussing online are referring to it as a government initiative. It's not a government initiative. It's a private member's bill that has been brought by a former information minister, Sherry Raymond, who is part of the ruling Pakistan's People Party. So it's confusing, but this is a private member's bill. It's not a government initiative. OK, let's start with Waka, who's live with us from Lahore. Waka, do you think this reveals an intolerant country?
Yeah, my opinion is that Pakistan has to move forward. And in order to move forward, we have to respect humanity and we have to equality with integrity. And the initiative taken by Sherry Raymond has been very positive. But I think that the religious scholars and those people who have strongholds in the Islamic society, They would do their best in order to stop this, because I mean they have a stronghold in the society, and for the last 25 years we as a society been aiding them and been supporting them. So they would not help the cause. And as far as this amendment is concerned, I think the parliament it would show that how powerful democracy is, and it can be in promoting the equality in the society if this present parliament is able to amend this law.
And talking about the amendments that are being suggested, let me just come in, just in case people haven't followed the story in detail. And there's a couple of amendments. You don't need to go through all of them. The main headlines are, though, that if this was to be passed, there would be no death penalty anymore for insulting Islam. There are also various measures which are closing what the people who are supporting the bill called loopholes, which in turn will prevent miscarriages of justice. And Wacker, I'm just wondering, what impact did the strike have in